Good morning once again. Our scripture text is taken from the first epistle of Peter, chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, which reads, "But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, 'Be holy, for I am holy.'" We find this command throughout the book of Leviticus, and Peter places it here in the context of Christian living in his first New Testament letter. There must be a connection. It has been said that the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. In the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. Leviticus answers the question, how can we approach a holy God? Peter answers the same question in our text with regard to daily communion with the holy God in a New Testament context. The answer is the same. Be holy, for I am holy. In the sermon this morning, we shall present two truths that we have right here in God's Word, and then we will draw two applications from those truths. First, God is holy by nature. Secondly, men and women are unholy by nature. And our two applications are these. First, God's standard is impossible to meet. So we're going to see, we're actually going to be digging ourselves deeper until we're ready to get to our second application, when we find that God has already dug us out of that hole which we've dug for ourselves. And we will draw the application that God's people are therefore to be a holy and distinct people. God is holy by nature. We have it in our text. He who called you is holy. God is exalted above his creation because he exists outside of his creation. He is the creator. We are the creation. He is free from all impurity and taint of sin by definition. The saints echo Moses, singing, "Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, glorious in what? In holiness." We cry out with the seraphim, the angels of God who surround his throne. And the Bible says that every day they cry out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." The whole earth is full of his glory. God alone is holy. He is our creator, he is our sustainer, and the lover of our very souls. God is without sin. Indeed, he cannot sin or do any wrong. He exists in three persons, though he be one God. This is the doctrine of the Trinity. And he has chosen to reveal himself through the person of God the Son, Jesus Christ. And as it is written, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in glory. Now, this being our doxology, we are going to come to our second point, a second truth, which I would like to present to you this morning, that man is unholy by nature. We, you and I, friends, are part of God's creation. None of us is without impurity, for it is written that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. We have been angry at others. And so, according to God's standard, that makes us murderers. We have been lustful, and according to God's standard, that makes us sinfully covetous and adulterers. We've lied. We've all told lies before, right? Amen? What does that make us? Liars. I shall spare you the expanded list. Our brother pretty well covered that in last week's communion message, for those of you who are here. Now, so far, we have established two truths. First, that God is holy, and secondly, that we are not holy. So we've got a problem. We've got a separation there between God and man. How can man, who is unholy, have communion with God who is holy and perfect? How can that happen? So far this morning, we're left worse off, than where we began. So we go to our text, and we look for a little bit of help. And our text says to be holy as God is holy. Don't put your shovels away just yet, friends. We're going to dig a little bit deeper. Perhaps we shall find hope. We have two applications which arise from our text. The first is that God's standard is impossible to meet. Our text says, "But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct." So God's standard is perfection. Do you see it? We are commanded to approximate the holiness of God. Not in some of our conduct, but in all of our conduct. We have a similar command in the Sermon on the Mount. Remember when Jesus said, after he was done explaining the Ten Commandments to his hearers, "Therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect." And I can picture the disciples as Jesus, back in those days, he would have been teaching from a sitting position. You know, and Jesus says that, and he gets up, and the disciples coming up saying, hey, wait a minute, what do you mean be perfect? The point that he's making is that we've all broken the law. We've all broken God's law. We've all broken the Ten Commandments. All 10 of them. And if you deny that, not me, but the scripture calls you a liar in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8. Unholy man can neither be perfect nor holy. So the question arises, why would God command us to do something that we can't do? God says, be holy for I am holy. And he tells us to be holy in all of our conduct. He is commanding the impossible. And then the answer comes to the spiritually minded man or woman. Of course, with men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. In realizing the reality of our condition, we are brought to our knees and we seek God's help. And such help he freely offers. This is the reason Jesus came. This is the reason God sent his son Jesus to save sinners. This is the reason Jesus had to die, so that we can be reconciled to God through his blood. This is the gospel. This is the communion table which we're going to be celebrating in 15 or 20 short minutes. God sent his son Jesus to save sinners, and he is the answer. You may have seen t-shirts or bumper stickers that have this saying on it: Jesus is the answer, but what is the question? The question is, I'll actually, when somebody's got that t-shirt or that bumper sticker, if I can, you know, I stop behind him at the stoplight and, you know, I get out of my car and I grab him by the neck and I say, you know what, that bumper is what it means, right? No, not really. I don't encourage you to do this. But, you know, if somebody's got the t-shirt, I get the chance to talk to him, right? And I'll give them the question. They really don't want to know what the question is because they're trying to be a wise guy, right? The question is, in these last days, how can I approach the Holy God? And you've got the answer right there on your t-shirt. Praise the Lord. There is no other answer to that question. There is no other way, for Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There is no mediator between God and man except the man Christ Jesus, God who came in the flesh. Now, a question for you. Will you accept God's grace provision today? Answer in the quietude of your own heart. If you will, good. I have some closing advice for you. If you have already done this, then good. I have some advice for you. And if you still will not, hear on. Perhaps God's Spirit will get to you some other way. Our second application is this: God's people are to be a distinct people. God is holy, infinitely greater than all false gods. His conduct, therefore, is infinitely better than any false religious system would declare their God's conduct to be. God's people, Christians, In this New Testament dispensation, in these last days, are called to conduct which imitates the one they profess to believe in and to serve. You profess to believe in Christ. Does the way you live your lives profess the same? Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. That is God's promise to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. All of these scriptures that I've been quoting throughout the sermon this morning are in your bulletin that you picked up when you came in, and you can take a look at them later if something's struck you or if you're curious as to where I'm coming from on these things. The more of God's words, the better. The way you behave, the way you love, the way you forgive, the way you speak to others ought to be noticeably different than those who serve themselves, the world, and other gods. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. We'll take a moment of silent prayer at this time, and following that, we will offer one another the sign of peace. There will be a brief word with regard to the significance of the communion table, which we will celebrate this morning. And if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, if you believe the gospel and you are in good standing before God, you are welcome to partake. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for the forgiveness you so freely offer through your Son, Jesus. We are an unholy people, and you, Lord, are holy. Who are we that you are mindful of us? And yet you are. There be any who are separated from God for one reason or another, let us pray after this manner. Lord God, I failed. And I come to you for mercy this morning through your Son, Jesus Christ. Draw me into fellowship with you. For you've promised that all who come to you, you will in no wise cast out. If you've prayed such a prayer for the first time, on the authority of God's word, you are now a child of God. Christian friend, may this prepare your heart as you hear a word with regard to the significance of the communion table and have one last opportunity to reverently offer up your peace before God. We'll now offer one another the sign of peace.